Monday, May 12th, 2025, Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 p.m.
We'll go ahead and get started. Start with Pledge Allegiance.
Pledge Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board Meeting Room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Take roll.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Here.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rick and Brian had both contacted me. They both had prior engagements that they were going to do, so I would make a motion to excuse them from today's meeting.
I'll say it.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, next we'll have public comment. So if anybody wants to comment on anything that is not on today's agenda, now would be the time to come forward. How you doing, Mr. Hartnett?
Good, thank you. Can I come up?
You bet. Come right on up here. State your name and we'll go from there.
All right, cool. Ron Hartnett, Dakota City, Nebraska. I've been kind of like, you know, always kind of aware of the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out was come across a website a few days ago, talked about the cost overall. And it's just like some number I thought were really pretty staggering. So I'm just going to share with this.
The carbon capture pipeline?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So the headline says, taxpayers' cost for carbon capture, utilization, and storage, a fiscal disaster in the making. And the 45, and I'll leave you a copy of this.
You bet.
The 45Q tax credit expansion for carbon capture dramatically increases the expected cost to taxpayers without adequate oversight and transparency to ensure fiscal integrity or program efficiency. Independent analysis suggests tax subsidies could average $46 billion per year, more than 140 times the original official projections. Total cost could reach as high as $835 billion by 2042. And where industry proposed expansions implemented, the taxpayer cost would surge above $3 trillion. With lax oversight, little transparency, and cost credits funding enhanced oil recovery rather than true carbon reduction, the risks of taxpayers are enormous. This report explains the 45Q program's potential fiscal impacts and the urgent need for reform of this flawed federal subsidy. So some like bullets here, poor targeting for uncertain climate benefits, the limited available data based on gross tons of CO2 sequestered, the considered uncertainty of climate benefits of EOR, enhanced oil recovery, is disastrous fiscal impacts of 45Q. Inadequate oversight. Existing oversight is self-reported. They make up their own observations, and they, you know, there's nothing from the federal government that's kind of like observing their input. So it's just kind of like it's whatever it sounds like they've done. They just pretty much write down what they did. Inadequate oversight. Self-reported. Impossible to publicly track. Impossible to publicly track credit claims against the EPA data on sequestering amounts. No fiscal transparency. The public essentially has no direct project-specific information to assess the cost of credits and to identify the corporations and activities being supported by the federal tax dollars. Taxpayers need productive IRS reforms. Guardrails on credit amounts. Setting a cap on the total amount of credits claimed would be a first start. And finally, transparency and accountability requirements. Requirements for tax credit transparency includes 45Q claimants as well as detailed information about credit projects and credit transfer. Also, stringent criteria for auditing, recapture of credits, and other factors for accountability, program implementation and results. And I just want to share with you guys, I listened to Iowa Public Radio, and they talked about the pipeline yesterday, or rather last Saturday, some people, and they just talked about, it's kind of up in the air. I mean, there's some people that are really for it, like Republicans want to keep going with it. So it's kind of, it never came up with a conclusion. So that's, what I'm trying to say, this is new information for me, so I just think we're,
okay.
I've looked at all the other stuff, but this is the first time I looked at, okay, what's the future going to hold for down the road.
So, okay, well, thank you so much. You bet. We'll go ahead and take that.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you.
You bet, thank you. Anybody else with public comment? All right, we'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from April 28th, 2025. Approval of payroll claims April 27th to May 10th, 2025. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of accounts payable claims. And approval of the Veterans Quarterly Report. I came in earlier today and went through the payroll. Everything seems to be in order. I've already gone through the Veterans Quarterly Report, and everything seems to be in order.
Make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through E.
I would second that motion.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
New business, Pat McRoy, Northeast Nebraska Telephone Company, to give updates on the fiber expansion in rural Dakota County.
Hello, welcome.
Welcome.
Glad to be here. I'm Pat McRoy, I'm General Manager, and this is Paula Wendt. Well, she's our representative in this area. You probably all know Paula. She's out and about all the time. So that's
she was twisting. She twisted my arm to make sure I would sign up for it. So yeah,
that's what we like to hear. So that's good. But just a little overview of us, so that everybody knows. You know, we're based in Dakota County. We've been here 70 years. We're celebrating our 70th anniversary this year. We serve 6,000 homes in 24 counties. So there's 30. Smaller towns like Jackson, like Hubbard, all around northeast Nebraska. We go as far west as Long Pine, Nebraska, so
okay,
almost out to Valentine, and we go down southwest to Clarks, Nebraska. So we're very geographically diverse. Out there it's all ranches and long drops and everything else. So, but that's kind of who we are. We're governed by a board of 9 directors. We have monthly meetings in Jackson. We have 33 employees based out of Jackson. Of those, probably 18 to 20 of us are housed in Jackson, and then other ones are out in the outlying areas. So we're a co-op, so every dime we make stays here. So if you look at the history of what we've done as a co-op, we've paid back in northeast Nebraska in the last 20 years about $84 million to our subscribers. So, any money we make doesn't really go in the pocket of one individual, it goes in the pocket of all of our co-op members. So, it's a pretty good deal. Howard Rasmussen was a local gentleman out here that started it. He was kind of the brain trust to start it, and pretty impressive what he accomplished just through the way the story goes. I probably don't have time for all this, but he went to like a extension office meeting about starting a phone company, and they told him that there would be RUS or REA money available, and he kind of followed through and made it all happen. So pretty cool how he's done.
Been around a long time.
Yeah. So, any rate, why we're here today, we won an auction. The previous provider that was serving rural Jackson area had not built services to a lot of people, so the state took back the money that they had been given over the last 20 years, and then they put out an auction, and so we bid on that, and that we won that. So along with that, because what the auction was for was a place here and place here and place here. We just said let's build all of it over to Highway 77 and take that off the map. So anything from Homer up to 20 and back to Jackson Hubbard will all be covered with fiber optics. Hopefully by the end of the summer, but, you know, that's according to our contractor, who says he'll start on the 19th, so on a week from today. So cross your fingers, that should be what's happening. So at any rate, that's the press release that went out in the paper. We're just here to answer any questions you have about it. Along with that, you might have heard about BEAD, Broadband Equity Access Deployment. And that was a $42 billion program that Congress authorized during COVID. The money never has reached the states yet, so it's still sitting in the Commerce Department, so it doesn't know for sure how that's going to be. But we have to submit our application for that BEAD process this Friday. So in your packet there, we gave you a letter of support. If you feel inclined, please sign it, put it in the envelope. Even if you did it today, Paul could probably come collect it tomorrow or whatever. But at any rate, those kind of things all help our application. So with what's happening with what we're building out, we're going to build out majority of it anyways. So, but there are some places south of Homer that we would get to also, and a couple places way north by the golf course that would be. So, other than that, that's kind of what we're here for. If you guys have any questions, I'd certainly answer them. So.
And that stuff's just knifed in?
Knifed in, for the most part. Anytime we go under a road or, some of the roads they'll actually be in, but they'll work with the county road crew to see where they want them to be. Most of the time we're in the ditch. Sometimes we're in rural areas in the road bed. And then it's bored underneath any highway or culverts. So. It's our goal to serve everybody. So if someone's upset, my God, have them call us, because we will make it right. We'll figure it out. We want it to work and work well.
You guys,
the actual contractor will be Engbarth Directional Boring.
Okay.
So those will be the vehicles you might see.
Okay.
But it's for us. So.
Okay.
So you know we're paying them. So.
Actually, I think we can probably just sign that and send it along with you now. Then you don't have to make a special trip if you want.
That sounds great. That would be wonderful. On the back of each of those press releases there's in that envelope, just a letter to sign. That would be great. Brian already sent his in. So.
Did he? Okay.
You want to show them where to sign?
Yeah.
That helps. Just so she knows.
Just on the bottom here.
Just on the bottom, please. Yeah, of course. If you have any reason as to why, then put Dakota County on that other line, if you would, for me.
Right here?
Yes, please.
Now, we're not on the east side of 70.
Top one.
On
Highway 77, 75.
Right, Dakota.
Yeah. Okay.
But eventually our goal would be to cover all of rural Dakota County.
What is the date today?
The 12th.
You bet. Thank you. You bet. No problem. Thank you.
Yeah.
So y'all have Paulo's number now, right?
Yeah, we have it. Yep.
I did hound Marty a couple Friday nights.
Oh, yeah. She ran into her out at the fish fry, and she was hawking her wares.
That's a good thing. Thank you very much.
No, thank you guys. Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, that aren't going to get or don't have that service will have that service because of that.
Yeah.
Pretty valuable in this day and age. You have to have it, especially if you have kids in school.
Yeah. If anything arises, just call.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Struggling.
Are you?
Thank you.
Approve resolution 25C-010, declare personal property, surplus property, as obsolete and dispose of per 23-3107. So the departments have gone ahead and made a list of their materials they're not using anymore, surplus property, store it in the basement, then they have a auction, and if it doesn't sell, then it's disposed of. So.
I can't believe they're getting rid of that bench.
You can buy it.
Which one?
The one that's got Dakota County on it?
Says Dakota County.
Out of the courthouse?
Oh, really?
I saw it on the list.
At number four.
Yeah, it's downstairs. We replaced it. It had already been repaired once, and I just didn't trust it, you know, safety-wise. And just letting you know, that's why.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We all sign it and then auction it off and make some money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say.
All right. I would make a motion to approve resolution 25C-010.
A second.
Marty?
Yep.
Emil?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Cedar Lake, you want to drive ditch updates? I did call NIRMA, talk to them about the situation out there. We're a little bit unhappy with the way the ditch situation turned out there. But in conversations with them, they just really feel that if we had an engineer design that we should probably leave that as is, because if something would happen down the road, you know how that is. So that's where we said. Gene, there's kind of it kind of rolls up onto his property there. And right on that property line, in talking to him before the meeting, he feels like that if he took some of that down with his grader, it would be more appealing to them. And, you know, like I said, on his place there, he can do anything he wants. So you have anything you want to add, Gene? Or?
No.
Okay. So, any other questions you have, don't hesitate to come forward. And we'll have our guys out there in the not-real-distant future to go ahead and take the berms out of the ditch that we put in so the water lines wouldn't freeze over the winter.
Okay. Before you do, Jolene, did you get hold of me? Because we might just leave the dirt right there. That could bring some in.
Oh, okay.
Or driveways. So, you know, say you guys cost for getting
it out. How about you do what you need to do and what's left and you can take care of what that works?
Okay. I'm just waiting. I'm trying to get it in the sound.
Yeah. Because, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do a lot of things until Rural Water gets done what they're going to do, too, because they're going to be back and forth and through. So we can get it figured out. Yeah. All right, Jolene, we're leaving it in your guys' capable hands with Gene, because he's been super easy to work with all the way through. So, Chief Deputy Decker requesting board to approve the purchase of a transport van. And Lord knows they've been transporting a lot of prisoners.
That is true.
Did you guys get a copy of this?
Yep.
Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's a used 2023, 17,000 miles, and they have the used cage to put in it. So.
And it's the same cage that you guys have, basically?
Yes.
So,
yeah, it's in the budget.
And, yeah, they're within budget, yes.
So, yeah.
I should say they're under budget so far for this year.
Yeah, because with the mileage that they're on, the two that we have, I think if you can find a used one with 17,000 miles on it, it'll play a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah.
And a cage for half price.
Yeah.
Wish we never had to buy a cage, but that's not the world we live in.
No.
I'd make a motion to
let
them do what they're going to do with the new jail or with the new.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Board to approve sending a letter in support of NextLink Internet applying for the Nebraska B Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Grant funding opportunity to help fund the project to improve internet access within Dakota County. We're going to have to call on you to explain this to us. Does this
But this is, I mean, this is a competitive.
Is someone here from next link?
I don't think they were coming.
They never are. That's why we don't worry about it. So the way the BEAD funding is set up today, it'll go first to fiber to the home providers like us. And then in theory, if there's places left afterwards, they would have the chance to bid on it also. But we have to submit a bid by Friday, and our bid might be rejected. And after that, then they'll go to wireless, and they'll go to Starlink. So, so NextLink is a wireless play, generally. They might have some,
I think in our area, it is.
Yeah. They might have other plans. We did wireless for a few years. And
Would this be in competition with you?
Could be. Yeah. So, but I'm not going to speak against them.
But it would be unusual for, I mean, once the service is run somewhere, is it unusual for somebody to run another service in just to the same house, trying to get them to?
Yeah, very unusual.
Yeah, very unusual. Especially in a rural area, I'm sure.
Yeah. So,
you'd think they'd have a representative here if they wanted to send a letter.
That's kind of my thoughts, too. Yes, Jackson was here. They look at their map, what they're doing. We signed theirs.
It's just hard for me to get behind anything if they're not going to send somebody to at least stand, talk about it or get behind it. So I would say I would be in favor of not doing it. Andrew Miller, Weed Sign Department, to present and review the 2024 Dakota County Weed Control Authority Report for the Nebraska Department of Agriculture, Noxious Weed and Seed Programs, and approve the chair to sign the summary form.
Yeah, so.
Welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So, this is just an email I got from Trevor Johnson. From my understanding, this is just a formality that we have to do every year.
Uh-huh.
We discussed the 2024 report at a prior meeting. I think he just kind of wanted to discuss things that we can do moving forward from the report, which is better record retention and make sure we get the report in on time. I think those are the two biggest things that we can do.
Did you get... Not to change the subject, did you get anything worked out with the state then on doing some of their spraying?
Yes, I got a hold of Tim Koning, the head of District 3 down in Norfolk. He sent me a template for a contract. Now, while I need to bring that to you guys once I get some numbers wrote down and have you guys approve that, or is that something I can just go straight
to? So, Kim, what they've done in the past and what they do in some counties, the county will actually spray state right-of-ways, do a contract with them because they're not doing much for spraying, and we've got a pretty good leafy spurge outbreak on 77.
Yes, we do.
So the county would bill them for the spraying they did. Is that something we should just have them drop in your office to take a look at?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get it to the county. Just get to the county attorney's office. Jolene's done that. She knows what.
Okay.
So we can go that way about it.
Okay.
And then also, I talked to the powers that be a little bit. If you come in, and I'm sure you work that all out, but if you come in and spray on a weekend, just need to let everybody know what's happening.
Yep. We'll do.
All right. Any other questions?
Nope. Not for me.
All right. Well, keep her going.
Yep.
Do you need a motion to sign?
Yeah.
Make motion to the chair sign the report.
I'll second.
And I'll just need a copy of that signed. Just email it to me, Sheree.
Okay.
So I can send it to Trevor.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Bold business. Jolene, Highway Superintendent, to give us our road report.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
We had 365 hours maintaining roads. We had 44.75 hours in overtime. Some of the guys have been coming in on Fridays. We are on 410s. We do have that sign grant that we have to have the signs in by June 30th. We can get an extension if we need to, but that's something the guys did. It's getting kind of dry to be grading.
Yeah.
So they've been trying to hit the signs pretty hard. So that then hauling gravel into the yard. So that's what a lot of that overtime is.
Uh-huh.
And then Andrew did some spraying on the weekend too. So
if guys are willing to come in and do that, you know, and we're setting good on our, but that's great if they're willing to step up and do that.
Right. We had 4 hours getting ready to start driveway culvert on 260th. We had 55.5 hours on a culvert, replacing a culvert in a road on 220th. 10 hours on K Avenue. That was a minimum maintenance road that had some severe washouts. One of the guys was standing in it, and they were pretty deep in there. 12 hours picking up garbage, 5 hours running the magnet, 30 hours running the road drag. Colton only had 20 hours in the grader, but he had the 30 hours running the road drag. 152.5 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 255.48 tons of 1-inch on the roads, 147.87 of gravel on the roads, and we hauled just under 500 1-inch rock and just under 500 of road gravel into the yard.
And that would be, that's coming from Iowa, most of that's coming from the
hit over. So the 1-inch rock is up at Boyer and Hill Warden, and then the gravel is Pierce.
Okay.
So it's a 3-hour round trip up to Hay Warden, so mm-hmm. we have to stop and get gas or anything. So it's worked out to get each of the trucks get two in the morning up in Hay Warden, and then one in the afternoon in Pierce.
Oh, nice.
So 38 hours working on signs, 18 hours spraying weeds, requests for gravel on 260th and Lynch Avenue. Lynch Avenue is one of them places where we need the dump truck to get back into. So we talked to them, and they'll be patient, and hopefully in the next week or two we'll have that. The new loader is supposed to come tomorrow. M Avenue, they started today. And with that, we did have to purchase 0.06 acres of right-of-way. We had discussed that with you. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. Cool. Let me know if you need something.
Andrew, everything working fine on the sign side of it as far as the equipment you have, as the pounder?
Yes, we're getting a new puller to pull the old post, but mm-hmm. other than that, the trailer's working great.
Okay.
Post pounder's working great, yep.
Okay. Commissioner committee reports?
I don't have any.
I also don't have any.
I don't really have a committee report, but Sheree and I did go to the budget training down in York on Thursday. It was the formula's changed this year, so the budget's going to be much different this year than it's been in the past. So we are looking seriously at getting a third party to help us at least through this first year of the budget, CPA. That works for Hall County and a few other counties to help us lead us down the right direction. So other than that, I didn't have anything either. Mailer emergency business? And Rogelio, what do you want to say?
I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.